All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody on this rainy day, right? We're honored to have Brian with us for the next couple weeks. So without further ado, please give your undivided attention to Brian.
Well, good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? That food smells and looks delicious. And I usually have my topic up here, but since you're alive for the food, anybody want to take a guess what I'm going to teach on today?
Something out of the Bible.
A prophet, truly a prophet over there. Amen. Definitely straight out of the Bible.
All right.
Next slide. We're gonna, today, while you're getting your food, load up. Today, we are going to talk about the power of fasting. And if you remember a few months ago, I was teaching on the power of prayer and fasting. Well, we never got to the fasting part, so I know Bob would be upset if I didn't get to talk about that, right?
Absolutely.
Amen?
Absolutely.
And first of all, do not blame me at all. Don't stone me for this. Next slide. Because it's all PD's fault. You say, why is it PD's fault? Well, over the spring, we were in the book of Matthew at home group, and we got to the chapter talking about fasting. And God had already stirred me up to teach on it, but I needed some confirmation. Pastor Don says, why is it today nobody talks about fasting anymore? You don't hear it on TV, you know, these preachers, you don't hear it, you know, at the pulpit too much anymore. And right there, it was like, you know what? All right, there's my confirmation. So blame the boss, not the servant. It is a good picture.
I like that.
Usually I start off with a nice little song, but hey, no catchy tune for today's teaching. I know you're upset.
Why
don't
you just sing?
But
whoa.
There's really... I mean, if you think about it, have you heard a song about fasting? I mean, maybe Keith Green, about 40 years ago, might have sang about that. Exactly. But we love them, don't we? So there will be no catchy tune today. So I apologize for that. Next slide. So what is fasting? And why is it important even today? Well, fasting is a verb coming from the word fast. And it means to abstain from all or some kinds of foods or drinks, especially as a religious observance. You know, I've heard before you can, hey, I could fast, you know, from the computer, I could fast from this. But biblically, it's always food. Although I do have a story. I wish John Lewis was here. This is about 18 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. Kenny O'Rourke was discipling a bunch of us guys. And Kenny come up with an idea. He says, you know what, we're going to fast TV for 7 days. And I'm like, what? Are you out of your mind? It's football season. You know, come on now, Kenny, whoa. Well, John Lewis was new to the church. He was newly saved. He had all this zeal. He raises his hand and he goes, Kenny, I don't think 7 days is enough. I said, shut your mouth, John, right now. He says, I think we ought to do 7 weeks. I'm like, are you insane? So we did. We did a 7-week fast from TV, although Kenny snuck out and went to the show and seen Pearl Harbor. I still hold that against him. But you know what, though? It actually, when we did that, it broke something in me because I didn't realize how addicted I was to TV. So even though I cursed John Lewis, bless him today, because even this day I'm not as hooked as I was. Amen? But here today we're going to talk about what the Bible says about abstaining from food and why it's important even today. It's not just an Old Testament thing. A few things here. Fasting draws us closer to God. You know, number one, fasting should always be accompanied with prayer. They go hand in hand.
It's not just a diet, right? Hold on a second.
Okay.
I learned, great minds Think alike.
Number two, fasting helps break down strongholds in our life. There's some things that are so strong in your life, some sin, some obstacles, that you know what? Sometimes just prayer ain't going to get it done. Sometimes you got to show God, hey, I'm serious. I need help in this area. And the Holy Spirit will call you to fast. Number three, fasting helps us to focus on the spiritual things. I mean, today, that breakfast, it looks good. It smells good. Does it taste good, Elma?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Right? We're always, you know, we're thinking on food all the time, thinking about what my wife's going to make me after church today, right? And number four, fasting's not easy, but it's always rewarding, you know? And if you've ever done it, you know it's not easy, but it is rewarding. Next slide. Does Jesus really want us to fast? Well, let's see what the Word says. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. It's Jesus talking. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But if you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. If you fast, right? No. No. Ah. So he's not giving us a choice here. He's saying, when you do this. Meaning, if he says, when you do this, in the verses right preceding this, Jesus tells us this, when you pray. And if you look there, it's they ask him, teach us how to pray, Lord. And he goes in and tells us the Lord's Prayer. Diane, we were just talking about that this morning, weren't we? The Lord's Prayer. So if he's saying when, not if, in the New Testament, I think that'd be a pretty good guideline that if God asks us to do something, to fast, I think maybe we should heed that advice. Amen? Well, Jesus is my example, brother. It's a redneck there. So, all right. Question for Jesus back there. That's Jesus back there, but I call him Jesus. All right. He's very smart, Carmen. He's super, super smart. He's always, when the junior youth are sitting in with us, he knows the answer more than even some of the teachers. All right.
I fall asleep on duty. Here you go,
young man. I got to get the youth involved here and wake them up. Jesus, how many days in a row did Jesus fast? Come on now.
40.
Very good. Give him a hand. All right. Forty days. I don't know. I know people can't do 40 hours, 40 minutes. And we're talking 40 days. Now, I don't think, you know, God's calling us to do 40-day fast. But that's a powerful example, right? Next slide. Here's some excuses of why we don't fast. Number one. I'm under grace, not under the law, so I don't need to fast.
That's a Christian's most common excuse for everything.
Yes, yes, it is. It's every time I'm under grace, I don't need to tithe, I don't need to do this. Really? Well, what do you do, right?
Nothing, you're under grace, right?
Yes.
I bask in my grace.
And Bob, next week, you're right, it does go hand in hand. We'll be talking about God's grace.
I knew that.
See that? So don't worry, this fasting ain't going 2 weeks, so I don't. So you can show up because we're going to be talking about God's grace. Because how many agree we need God's grace to fast?
Yes.
Right? Number two excuse why we don't fast. Well, that's Old Testament, brother. Is it? I just showed you what Jesus said in Matthew, New Testament. Be careful. Same with tithing. Jesus talks about that in New Testament. Just praying is good enough. We don't need to fast too. well, we'll just pray. You know, do a little hands on and well, a lot of times praying is good enough. But sometimes those deeper things, you know, those things maybe you can't kick. You know, maybe you smoked for 40 years or you just get saved. Sometimes it ain't easy to give that up, right? Number four, I would fast, but it's just too hard. I can't do it. Well, wait a minute, have you tried? I know my wife, when she first fasted, she got sick. Was that the only time you ever fasted? No. After that, guess what? God called her to do it again, and she didn't get sick the next time. And my favorite reason, I just love food too much to fast. You know, isn't that a blessing, food? I mean, there's so many, even today, like this delicious, wonderful food here. You know, we love it, right?
Yes.
We love it. Next slide. He said what? So we talk about, I actually mentioned this earlier, but Jesus talks about when you pray and teaches us the Lord's Prayer. These verses immediately precede Matthew 6:16, where Jesus tells us when we fast. So what would you say about that? We already talked about it, that what goes hand in hand, Betty? Next slide.
Prayer and fasting.
Prayer and fasting. It goes hand in hand. Well, as Bob would say, well, that's just a coincidence, right? Is that a coincidence, Bob, that Jesus talked about praying in Matthew 6, and then immediately after that, he talks about fasting. Was that a coincidence?
I just can't get over how much I look like Trump in that No, you're absolutely right. Prayer and fasting go hand in hand. That's not a coincidence. He was stating a fact.
Amen. All right, let's go to the next slide. All right, speaking of coincidences, and this is so true. Why is it every time I fast for something or someone, I'm offered free, delicious food? I kid you not. If you want to know if you're hearing from God, if God's called you to fast, I'm telling you, it's always confirmed, because I'll go into work and they just ordered pizza for free and here you go. Or they baked a cake. Or my one of my workers will bring me in some chili cheese Fritos that I love. Say, listen, I was just thinking about you. I brought those in on the day I'm fasting. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Because I know with all those temptations, I said, you know what? I did hear from God that he did want me to fast today.
That's what you can testify.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. But as Pastor Don would always say, the best kind of food is? Right. I've learned a lot from Pastor Don. Next slide. Oh, God bless my mother-in-law. Whenever we go to Arizona, like she's 100% Greek. And if you know anything about the Greeks, they love to feed you. I mean, she'll make us this breakfast like this, but not Mexican style, you know, but Greek style, or Puerto Rican, no offense. But she'll make us this big sprawling breakfast, and I'm like, oh, I think I need a nap. And Christy's my witness. Okay, guys, what do you want for lunch? What? She's planning out lunch and dinner, and I'm like still trying to, you know, my stomach's out to here. And I'm like, oh, gosh, are you kidding me? My own quote. Yes, here's my own quote here. You don't realize how much your life revolves around food until you fast. Think about it. What's for dinner? I wonder what they're having at the breakfast today. You know, where are we going for lunch after service? What's for dinner? You know, let's meet up for dinner next week at Ricardo's. Everybody's invited. Oh, was I supposed to tell? Right? Our life revolves around food. Amen? What does the devil and our flesh have in common? Neither one wants you to fast. When God asked me to fast, I'm like, oh, man. And then even when he gave me this subject, it'd been a while since I had fasted for something, and God reminded me, hey, you used to fast on a pretty regular basis for things, and remember how I broke down them strongholds and some things happened in your life? Yeah, Lord, I thought I was good. So I knew what I was going to teach on this. God was going to ask me to fast for certain things, and I'm like, all right, let's do it, right? Not easy, but rewarding. But neither one wants you to fast. Why? Because there's power in fasting. Fasting along with prayer tear down strongholds. They make things happen. They get God's attention. So, of course, that's going to get Satan's attention. Why do you think he's bringing me that food? You know, that free food that I love, free food. I mentioned that. And we got a volunteer, Bob, who's going to read us. Diane over here. You got the...
Oh, Diane. Yes, ma'am.
So let's read. We all know the story, but if you don't, Diane, read Luke 4, 1 through 4.
Okay, I'm reading out of the New King James. I let Brian know that. He approved it. Not the old King James.
It's been approved.
The new.
Yes. Yes,
then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
So he just got done doing a 40-day fast. And what's the devil do? He comes with this bread. I'm sure it's like that Oakwood bread. They're really good. I can't.
Nice and warm.
Oh, I tell you what. I mean, Ken and I are supposed to be cutting down on white bread, right, Ken? But man, when you put that Oakwood bread in front of me and it's fresh, I'm tearing it up. I love that bread, right? Can you imagine the smell? The devil probably just freshly baked it for him, too. Like, here you go, smell this, you know. All right, next slide. At times, we need more than just prayer. Mark 9, look at this, King James, Diane. See? Sometimes I do use that. Mark 9, 28 through 29. And when he came into his house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast him out? They came across a guy that was demon-possessed, and they prayed over him. Nothing happened. Well, wait a minute. They're in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent them out. What's going on here? And he, Jesus, said unto them, this kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting.
Yes.
It's one of the few translations that still says fasting at the end.
Yes.
And I always remember what Bob said. It's not like they said, you know, hey, just skip breakfast today, and that demon will come out. You know, as Bob, want to quote what you always said here? It's not a...
Yeah, you don't just because you want something, you haven't talked to God, never. And the minute you talk to him is because you want something. That's why you pray and fast, you're not going to get it. What he's talking about here is a lifestyle. You know, we all have that friend that only calls us when he wants something, right? Do we want to be that person to God? This is a lifestyle. But a lot of the NIVs don't have this, and the reason for it is because the majority of the manuscripts that were found don't have this one in it. Just because of that, they don't put it in it, and that's not necessarily the right way to do things. Some of the better translations actually have fasting in it. It seems to make a lot more sense.
Amen. Okay. Look at me. I'm fasting. I'm so spiritual. Well, go back to, who has Matthew 6:16? Look that up real quick, somebody. But don't brag about it, right? I work with all kinds of Muslims, and you should see these guys during their Ramadan.
Who's got Matthew?
Oh,
Matthew
fasting.
6. Who's got it?
Somebody's got it.
Somebody's got it. Who's got it?
Somebody could look at it.
I'm taking offers.
I got it.
Thanks,
all right.
Esther.
All right, Esther to the rescue.
Just 6:16, that's all, Esther.
When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full.
Amen.
Thank you.
You know, Muslims, Yeah, I talk with them all the time, and we have differences because I tell them it's not the same God, and we all know that. And they'll argue with you, but in their hearts they know too. But they do the fast, the Ramadan, and actually it's not really a fast. They can eat all night long, but they can't eat during the day until the sun goes down, kind of like vampires or something. I don't know. But I'm like, is that really a fast? You're gourding yourself for 12 hours and you're just giving, I mean, you know. And I always tell them this story about Jesus. I go, well, you know, they always talk, we love Jesus. And I said, well, do you know Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights? I said, that's a true fast. So, but they like to brag about it. Look at me. I'm fasting. And drives me nuts. Next.
Well, and many want,
yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Many of the Muslims want special treatment when they're fasting, which
yes.
is the exact opposite of
yes.
why they are supposed to fast in the first place.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
When they ask for that special treatment, it's an expectation that you are going to allow this. Now, I'm speaking as a PE teacher. A lot of those kids will come in and say, I can't run today because I'm fasting.
Yep.
I can't do this. I can't do that. And when we fast, we're not supposed to make excuses. We just learned that we're not supposed to brag about it or to gloat about it or
amen.
Act like we're the holy ones. We're
yep.
doing it to get more of God and closer to God in our lives.
Yep.
And yet, you know, we find ourselves making excuses or we see other people make excuses. It defeats the purpose.
You're not supposed to be a ritual.
Exactly. You stole my thoughts too there. Thank you, Dan. Because I was thinking about that. They do. With the PE, it's like, and at my school, it's like 95% Muslim. So the kids, but hey, I try to shine the light to them too. You know, they're just brought up in it. Amen. Is it ever okay to tell someone you're fasting?
Yes.
My wife had that question. Because I was fasting for my son to get a job, not Job. And God put it on my heart. And he had to take a test for Electricians Union. I put out the prayer request to several people. And I said, hey, Evan, I just want you to know, you know, I'm only praying for you, I'm fasting. He's like, wow, Dad, really? I go, yeah. It's okay to tell somebody you're fasting for a situation. You know, unfortunately, he didn't pass the test this time. But, you know, my son-in-law, it took him a couple different times, so I tried to encourage him. But God did provide another job for him. And a good job, you know. It's not the union job yet, but, you know, it's okay. Next slide. If it's fit for a queen, then it's good enough for me. Esther. Queen Esther. There you go. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arrive from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but you have come to a royal position at such a time as this. We've always heard that phrase, right? So this is what Esther did. She knew that their lives hung in the balance. So what'd she do? It says, then Esther sent the reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. So she's asking thousands of people, hey, fast for me. Don't eat anything or drink anything for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So she knew she could have been killed from the king under that order. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. You know, I truly believe, you know, I'm not going to get political here, but I truly believe there was a lot of people praying and fasting for this judge to go
sure.
through.
Absolutely.
And not just prayer, but there were some strongholds,
yes.
a lot of different things that I truly believe there's people that were on their face, not just praying, but fasting for this man because he's very pro-life. They don't want pro-life up there. Amen. Heaven forbid. Next slide. Well, Team Edward, it's all Greek to me, speaking of Greeks, diatrophy. Bob, what does that word mean?
I have no idea, except what you got under it.
Fasting without praying, diatrophy means,
never heard that word. No.
Well, you called it earlier, fasting without praying is diet.
Oh.
Hey, I'm going to fast today. What are you fasting for? Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to fast. Well, you should pray. Maybe God put somebody or something on your heart. Otherwise, you're just dieting.
Is that a word you just made up?
No, that is a Greek word.
It is a Greek word, okay.
You know. When was the last time you fasted?
It's been a while.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, for a blood test. Right? How'd it turn out? How'd it turn out? Good. Yeah. I know, usually it is. The doctors, wait a minute. I got to fast for 8 hours? Well, wait, if I go to sleep at such and such time, then I could just hurry up and get my blood taken and then do, you know, there's my fast. Phew! Covered that. Next slide. Fasting does help us to focus on God and hear better. When we're not thinking about food all the time, it gives a clear vision. Next one. Do you know fasting produces more than just spiritual benefits? I just read this, and a lot of these people that are dieting now, they're doing intermittent fasting. They don't know the Lord, but, you know, it changes the function of cells, genes, and hormones. Can help you lose weight and belly fat, can reduce insulin resistance, lowering your risk of type 2 diabetes, can reduce oxidative stress and inflammation on the body, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not why we fast, right? Well, see, people think I can't fast, it's going to harm my body. Science is proving just the opposite. Go ahead, Bob.
They kind of relate it to resetting a computer. At least 3 days. It says it doesn't really help unless you do 3 days, but it doesn't help if you do any more. Which is biblical, isn't it? Quite a coincidence. But a three-day fast is like resetting your computer, resetting your body functions. They kind of slow down, and they get rejuvenated and started anew.
So I just got a couple minutes here. We're going to end up. Does anybody ever have a time where they might have fasted and they've seen God have a breakthrough in their lives? Go ahead.
Always reminds me of this building we're sitting in. We had 50... Before we got this building, we had 52 days of fasting and prayer, right, Betty? I'm going to let Betty tell the story.
Yeah, tell the story,
Betty.
She's
the one who come to me and asked me about fasting and stuff. It's the first time I ever fasted, and I see results because I just moved to the city like 3 months before this.
Close it up, Betty. Tell us the story.
So when we moved into this building way back in, when did we move here? In the 90s. Was it 80s?
Yeah,
okay, so there was... There was a show, a theater here called Mel Theater, and they showed pornography there. Yep. It was like awful, awful stuff. Well, we were instructed by the pastor at that time, it was Pastor Ed Mannering, and God had told him for this church to do a 52-day fast. So it was like 24 hours around the clock, and we all signed up different times that we would be fasting and for how long. So it was, and praying, yes, absolutely, praying and fasting. So this was covered for 52 days, 24 hours a day. The last day of the fast, that building came down. That building came down. There was a wrecking ball. And the very last day, it's like, it's gone. So God.
Wow.
The mayor at the time, Mayor Coogan, had a barber shop here. The city had been trying to get rid of it forever, condemn it, do something. He said just all at once, the owner of it walked into his barber shop and told him, I give up, and wanted to work something out with the city to sell the land back to the city at practically nothing.
Really?
It was God. Yes, absolutely.
That was
God
one of those. That was one of those strongholds. See,
yes.
You know, the enemy didn't want to let.
Yes.
That was the biggest eyesore.
Yes.
And every time you told somebody you lived in Melvindale, they always talked about the Mel Theater.
Yeah.
All right. We are at close. Hey, Bob, we are at closing time, so I don't want to get in trouble.
Well, I just remembered something. At that time, I had a restaurant here in town, and it was called Fellowship Restaurant.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of prayer going on there, and we had intercessory prayer, and that building where the theater was still there when I had my restaurant. And during intercessory prayer, one of the ladies had said, Betty, that's your stronghold, and she pointed right to that place. That's a stronghold right there. And when, this is really strange, when she had said that, we heard a scream. It was like, in the spirit, a supernatural scream. We heard it. And we looked at each other, wasn't me, wasn't me. So those demons knew they were going to be gone.
Wow. That's powerful.
I just wanted to say, and I remember when we were praying and doing all this praying, that we prayed for the four corners to be changed.
Yes.
And that was before anything was there. They're all new buildings were on those four corners.
Yes.
And everything changed. And I think that was one of the things that
prophecy.
We wanted to see, that when we were praying
that
for.
That was a prophetic word, too, that come forth even before that happened. And that
right.
was going to be a sign.
Right.
Yes.
A sign for us. No.
Go to Ellie.
Ellie.
She's going to close us in prayer.
I don't have a story. Okay.
No, no. You're going to.
All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we all get to come here and learn more about you and worship you. Please bless this day and bless everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.